Joining me on the line is a former Tyrone player, John Lynch. John, sad news of the death of Frank McGuigan early on today. What's your first memory? I knew that you would have known him as a supporter, but you also came into the side when he was playing for Tyrone, so you knew him as a young boy supporting Tyrone, and then when he came in then to set up, you would have been a player when he came back from America.
I was, Kieran. My first memory really of Frank would have been, as I say, I'm not sure of the right year, but maybe 73, I think it was, that he played in two Ulster champ or two Ulster finals in the one day. He played minor, first of all, and then he played for seniors. I think they won both matches. It might have been Donegal, they're trying to guess. I'm not too sure. I'm not great in that history part of it, but I remember he played two matches in the one day, Ulster finals. That's my first memory of him. And then obviously he would have been into playing with the senior team and stuff right through. But obviously Tyrone weren't, there's no real success there. So when there's no success at that stage, like you're chatting about knockout situations, maybe Tyrone, maybe a bit or something, you wouldn't have noticed much about him. And then at club level, Arbol would have been Division 1, and for ourselves in Castlelyrick here, we're playing in Division 3, so we never had the pleasure of watching him at club level either, you know.
In terms of playing, go on ahead, John.
No, I'm just saying that my first experience of him then was, but my first meeting of him obviously was back in 1980. Art McCrory took over the Tyrone team, and I was pulled into that panel. A couple of young minor lads were pulled into the panel, and it wasn't I think maybe at 81 or 82 that Art decided to maybe invite Frank back into the panel, and I can remember us actually having a meeting. A team meeting, and we all were given a slip of paper, and I remember Art asking the question. He said, look, Frank McGuigan's wanting to come back into the country. I want you to have your say on whether we should pull him into the panel or not. So he gave us the option at that stage. And there were even a few lads in the team that didn't even know who Frank was, because he had been gone to America for a couple of years, you know. So, as I say, we got that option, and we all got him in, and he came. And that was my first meeting of him, and just right away, Kieran, the awe of him and the presence that he had when he came in around the place and stuff was just amazing, you know. And to watch him and try and mark him at training, it was just unbelievable. Like, and he wasn't a man that would have been in the typical shape a typical Gaelic footballer would be in now. Frank would have had a weight on him, and his pace was unreal. Like, he'd be fairly fast himself, and I remember us doing sprints, and Frank would have been a flying machine, like over 10 or 15 meters. Like, so he had all them bits of pieces to his bow that people wouldn't have probably imagined. But he was, like, as I say, he was highly skillful. He was strong, great in the air. He was fast at both feet. He just had everything a Gaelic footballer needed, you know.
In terms of his strengths, I know I was looking up research earlier on. He captained Tyrone at 19 years of age. They beat him down in Clonus in an Ulster final. The year before that, as you say, he was playing minor. To me, he was a leader. If you're a captain at 19 years of age. But in John Lynch's opinion, what was Frank McGuigan's greatest strengths?
Well, he was a very unassuming kind of person. Art, or you go through them successful years that we would have had when he was playing, you'll never find an interview of him. Like, he was never prepared to go forward and talk to the press or nothing. He was always in the background, you know, when he was so, the unassuming part was what really was likable about him. But he's a very highly intelligent lad, and his decision making on the field was like, he would make decisions way before anybody even would think about them. That was his strength, in my opinion. I remember actually when he came back to training one time, I remember Patsy would have travelled to us in the car at the training, and he says, you know, I haven't had a pass from that. We got a pass from Frank at the training one night, and he says, I wasn't expecting it, but he says, that's the kind of stuff he used to do years ago with us. He was always that one step ahead when it came to it. So it was just that sort of intelligence, sort of that football intelligence that I had, that he possessed. Whenever he was on the ball, he was always two steps ahead of everybody. You know, when you see some of the clips, like, obviously we played with him. I played with him right the number of years we had. I would have seen it every day we played. But the clips from his historical Ulster final against Armagh, when you see some of that stuff, the stuff he was at was breathtaking. Like, it was just unreal. And, like, as I say, he seemed to always that one step ahead of everybody, you know, when it came to the ball, you know.
What about that Ulster final, John? 1984. So he scored 11 points against Armagh, 5 from the left, two from the right and one fisted point. That must have been a great, great performance, but not too often. That's a start there. Like five from the left, two, five from the right, and one fisted.
One of the fist. Oh, it was like I was there that day. It was unbelievable. It was just like, it was like, we all just had to sit back and watch in amazement how he was doing it. And like, no disrespect to anybody that was marking him. The lads, the Armagh team were good lads, all good markers, good, strong defensive team. But he was just on a different level that day. There was just nobody could have touched him. As I say, if you see the clips of it, like, you know, with Dummy, Frank had this famous dummy as well. He was sort of famous for, as I say, nobody could have, you could never, you're always getting copied. I could copy it many times myself at training. Big Kieran McGarvey would tell you the same thing. Frank or Kieran would have marked him regularly at training, and Frank would have Kieran on his face many times with that double, with that dummy. So, the Kerry lads that, or the Armagh boys at that stage were, as I say, they were, Ulster final, they were a great team, but they just, Frank just ran them riot that day. Like, nobody, I think they actually might have maybe had three different markers on them that day. None of them could have touched them, you know. There was nobody going to mark them that day, no matter who you were. Like, there was some performance in an Ulster final. I would say in modern day, things have changed where players can get more now, especially with the two pointers. But with that, you know, and the way football was back then days too, Kieran, it was like, you know, men had been marked tightly, and there was a lot less scrutiny put on players and the way they marked you. So, like, Frank was taking a lot of abuse, and they still, you know, built to do a performance to get in an Ulster final. So it was definitely one that they will never forget, you know.
He won a number of Ulster titles, as you know, and I think it was four county championships he won with O'Donovan Ross. He got that All-Star as well. I'm trying to think, was it mid-80s? He got that All-Star as well. He didn't win an All-Ireland as a player. How proud would he have been of his sons? O'Brien was a vital man in that 05 team. His sons won a number of All-Irelands with Tyrone back in the 00s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like I say, you know, in later years then, Frank was a mad golf fanatic. And I suppose what took him out of football was the car accident that he had. Like he damaged his pelvis and hip and stuff, and that was sort of the end of his footballing career. And we played Armagh possibly that day as well. If I'm nearly right, we played Armagh that day in the league. And if you check it out, he had a very similar performance that day. I think he scored possibly someone similar to what he scored that in the Ulster final. But that evening he got injured in that car accident, and that was the end of him playing football. And they sort of went into golf. So in later years, you know, when a lot of the ex-county players would have played golf together, Frank would have been on trips with us, Spain and whatnot, and he was a great character too. Like, it was, the crack was mighty with him, you know, with just that typical sort of lost shore kind of attitude and crack. He was laid back, and the fun was great with him. But whenever we had him out at that stage, he would have talked about Frank, the young boys, and there was an amazing bit of pride. He was proud as punch of them all, you know, and he didn't just single out the likes of Brian. There was the rest of the lads were all there too. Like, Tommy would have won in All-Ireland, and then there's other sons as well that played with our bow. He was as proud as punch of them all, you know. It was amazing. They're an amazing family of talent, like, right through the whole time with our bow.
In terms of today's world, John, in terms of professionalism and the commitment in terms of levels of not going out at night and all that kind of crap, how would Frank McGuigan get on in today's world? I know I do believe he was great company in the night out.
No, Frank enjoyed his fight pre-match. Like, you know, I've seen us many times going to National League matches, and we've been down maybe Offaly or wherever we're playing, and Frank would have to have, like, we'd have went out for a pint before the match, maybe two or three, you know. Like, Frank enjoyed the crack, but that was just the culture of Gaelic footballers back in them days. There was no, like, there wasn't that, it wasn't as, well, I wouldn't say it wasn't serious, but there was still people were allowed to enjoy themselves. And, like, Big Art was the manager, and Art brought him back into the panel, so he wasn't going to start scouting him about having a drink before the match. But Frank would have had a drink maybe before any match he would have been playing, you know, and there was no wild noise about it. And he'd come out and play like man of the match performances. I remember a story, I'll tell you a good story about him. I'm curious how many of them may be telling this because it's a well known story. I remember we were in All Star trip one time, and I can't remember the man's name. It used to be RTE. He was the main man with the All Stars traveling. And they've told me a story about him one time that they went out. When Frank got Frank Dolan actually off their replacement once. And they went, obviously, to the hotel where they had a function that night. They were being presented with stuff and all that night. But, I'm sitting here trying to think of his name. I can't remember his name. Sorry, I can't remember it now. But anyway, he's saying that the function was on and the crack was merry and boys were having fun. And this man went into, said to go up to his room, and he went to the elevator. And he seen this boy lying sleeping in the corner of the elevator with an All-Star jacket on him. And he wasn't sure who it was, so he went out and got one of the boys. Suppose there's one of our lads lying in there sleeping, or he's drunk, or whatever, in the elevator. So whoever it was, anyway, done got him. It was Frank. So they got him up, just took him upstairs, and they threw him into a room, some of the rooms that they were taking. But anyway, the next day they were heading to the match, and Frank couldn't be got, and they had to go on ahead of the match. So they had put him into a room that they couldn't find him where he was, and Frank was probably still lying sleeping. But anyway, Frank woke up, and Frank had plenty of friends in America, so he got a lift to the match. And when he got to the match, he had no boots or nothing. But when he came in, the boys he borrowed a pair of boots. And to make a long story short, he went out and he played the match, and he was given the MVP of the match of the day. So that's the kind of boy Frank was in them days. There was no real strict rules about how you prepare for a game, you know.
Brilliant stuff indeed. Well, it's great talking to you, John, today, and it's a lovely tribute to the late, great Frank McGuigan. Before I let you go, John, what's the story in Tyrone this season? He's going to make a push for Sam, 1 point victory over Roscommon today. Not too sure did you see it, but if you did, what did you make of it?
Oh, I seen it. Nobody was expecting much from the Tyrone team again. Unless you follow Tyrone closely, there's a lot of names in there that you wouldn't be sure who even they are. You know, there's the half hour length, for instance, would have been, apart from Young O'Donnell, none of them would have been names that were jumping out at you. But they performed well. Listen, I thought they performed very, very well. The forwards, especially without the Canavans, stepped up. A lot of the big names, the likes of Matty and young Michael Holm from Loch McCrory was excellent. That's what we needed. We needed the performance, no matter what. And thankfully we got the result, but the performance was the important one, and I felt we performed well. We done everything we needed to do, and people might comment on the fact that Roscommon didn't play well, but I always think, you know, you're only as good as what you're let play, you know. So I think the Tyrone boys done very well, especially in defence. We done what we needed. They've obviously studied the Connacht final and seen the strengths and worked on them. And so listen, Kieran, we're not all Ireland beaters yet. But listen, we're still there, and hopefully we can get come from strength to strength and get a few of the injuries. McCrory came on sub there, so he's sort of back on the run again. So, you know, if we can get the injuries cleared up and get full strength again, I'm sure we'll give any team a good run, you know.